you can call it righteous anger, you can call it just good old-fashioned messing up. But he had been with God. God had given him the tablets that held the law. And he was coming down, and many of you remember what he found when he was there. Aaron had taken gold from the people and had cast a golden calf and had said, "Behold the God that brought you out of Egypt." Wow. Talk about slapping God in the face. Yeah, no, God, it wasn't you that brought us out. It's this inanimate object that I've just made with my own hands. Moses came down and saw it and saw what the people were doing around it, and he lost it. Threw those tablets down, pulverized them. And we find ourselves here in Exodus chapter 33. In verse 9 it says, "And it came to pass as Moses entered in the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend." Let's pause for a second. This is after his sin. Moses, in his lifetime, has messed up pretty good. 40 years old, he killed a man. Egyptian guard. Killed him outright, hit his body. Had to run in the desert and did nothing but lead sheep for 40 years. And God caught him, caught his attention with the burning bush, and said, "I got a job for you." And he had excuse after excuse after excuse. He did, "Oh God, I can't do that. I can't do anything you want me to do because I'm just not that guy." And God took all his excuses away, said, "You are that guy. You go do it." And Moses did. But he got the people out and made mistake after mistake after mistake because people are people, right? It's tough on leaders because people are people. Parents, you know. You're little angels, right? Not all the time, only when they're asleep, usually. But we're the same with the leaders that God's put in our lives and with God. So Moses would get mad over and over and over again and not handle it well. But what does verse 11 say? It's almost too good to be true. The Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friends. You see, dear friends, God is not the great God in heaven that is just out there for the great no. Okay, God, I want to have fun. No. I want to do this. No. God knows everything that you've done, and he desires to speak to you as a friend. That's the love he's got for you. Continuing on, verse 11, "And he turned again into the camp, and his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said to the Lord, See thou sayest to me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Thou hast said, I know thee by name, and hast found grace in thy sight." You see, God knows your name too. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've asked and repented of your sin, he knows your name. And what does it say? You found grace in his sight. Whew. Wow. If we were to truly grasp how amazing that is, we sing Amazing Grace, don't we? But we just go, we sing through it. And it doesn't really impact us, I think, like it should. It doesn't impact me like it should. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. We forget we were wretches. We forget we were, oh, I wasn't that bad. What was it when compared to Jeffrey Dahmer? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not that bad. I'm no Hitler. Yeah, but how are you compared to Jesus? How are you living your life compared to the one who lived an entire life perfect? Yeah, I'm not doing so good. I was a wretch. I am a wretch. If left to my own devices, I would mess up everything. Oh, and don't think you wouldn't either. Except by the grace of God, I could do anything any of those people have ever done. It is a slippery slope, and you'll keep slipping unless Jesus catches you. Oh, but Brother Dave, I don't care what you think you are. You're just like me, I'm just like you, and we're all like each other. Sinners, wretches. We've got two mistaken ideas about our identity. Either we think we're too good on our own, or we're too bad. Well, we are too bad, but with Jesus, okay, we're not that bad anymore because we can do all things through Christ. And we say, oh, but Brother Dave, I can't do that because of this that I've done. Really, like Moses? Like David? Like Saul of Tarsus? Saul got a new name. Paul. One of the greatest examples of mission work and missionaries planting churches that we have recorded for us. Why? Because he met Jesus. Jesus changed him, gave him a calling, and he, through Christ, admittedly, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He knew where his power came from. He knew where the direction and the calling was going towards, and he followed it. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But God knew him by name, and he found grace in his sight. There is no difference between Moses and Paul and you. You got the same Jesus, the same desire for sin, the same problems with self-control, but the same God that knows your name. Moses said in verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. That's not the only thing he's asked for. Look at verse 18. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Because in verse 17, he said, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing. In other words, show you where we're going and be with you. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee in my name. That's when Moses gets all bold and he says, okay, show me your glory. And I always thought growing up that the glory was like this spotlight, right? Huge. Remember the old spotlights that used to go in the neighborhoods and everyone would drive over to find out what was going on? I was before Facebook, right? Well, what's going on? I don't know. Let me check, you know, and you pull out your phone and find out what's going on in the neighborhood. Back then, when I was a kid, they used spotlights to shine and the whole town knew that something was going on over yonder, and so we didn't have, you know, but three channels on TV, so we drive over and see what the big deal was. Well, I thought God and his glory was like super bright, right? Let's read in, first let's establish the fact that God lets him do it, okay? In verse 19, God says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee and proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it come to pass when the glory pass by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. That's where we get that song. You remember that song? I won't sing it because Melissa sings so that people get a blessing. I don't sing for the same reason. But you know the song, and covers me there with his hand. Moses gets a chance to see the glory of God. But it's more than that. It's deeper than that, and it's even more special than that. Let's look in verse 34 to see what happened. Or chapter 34, excuse me. Verse 5 said, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood before him, and there proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and then will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, upon the third and fourth generation. God's glory revealed here in Exodus 34 is not just some giant glowing aura. It is who God is. He tells Moses, I am the Lord. In your Bible, it's probably capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. That's the one God. There is only one God, and that's Jehovah. And then it says, the Lord God. That's the Lord of hosts, the one that's going to fight your battles for you, child of God. You don't have to worry about standing up to the devil. Okay? That's God's job. You just stand. He gives you the strength to stand, but he is the general. He's the Lord of hosts. He's merciful and gracious, and aren't you glad he is? Amen. You see, mercy always precedes grace. Okay? Because God's grace, we got two frustrating worldviews when it comes to God. Okay? Now we got three. God doesn't exist at all. Okay? But the first is God is God of love. Okay? All dogs go to heaven and their masters too, right? All ways lead to heaven. Your path is your path, and whatever way that you see fit, God will bring you to heaven. That's one side. The side over here is God is a God of justice. Okay? And these are the people that have the big lists. God hates this and this and this and this, and so you can't do that, and God only wants you to do this and this. So if you do the list, maybe you might get close to heaven. And in Romania, you just pay the priest extra, and that'll help, right? Yes, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. Amen. He is just. Amen. He's not one or the other. His justice says that you can't go to heaven because you sinned. But he didn't stop there. Because God is a God of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I don't know how, because I don't understand the Trinity. I don't understand how God could have been separated in that time where Jesus bore your sin and my sin on the cross, became sin for us, and God had to turn his... I don't know how that happened. I don't understand, but it did. Jesus bore our sin on the cross. All sin for all mankind. He felt Adam's first betrayal all the way through all of us all until the very last person blasphemes as they're cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus felt it all, took it all. For you and for me. Yes, God is a God of love and a God of justice. And so he made a plan so that you can go to heaven, spend eternity with him. He's long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. God is good. God's word is true. And he leaves us without excuse. Verse 7 says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Unbelievable that God's glory says that he will forgive your sin. But be careful. That verse continues. That will by no means clear the guilty. God does not force you to do anything. God does not make anyone a believer. He extends a gift, just like at Christmas time, you give a gift away, and that person has every right to accept or reject. What kid would ever reject a gift that's under the tree? That'd be ridiculous. But it's also ridiculous for people to reject a holy God offering them Jesus Christ and the chance to escape hell and the lake of fire for eternity. God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to use preaching to share the gospel. Now, many of you say, oh, see, Brother Isaac, preaching, that's your job. No, Preaching is simply proclaiming the word of God. Telling. Go tell it on, oh, I did it. Go tell it on the mountain, right? We have to say what God's done for us. If it's not for us, there's many people who would never hear. It's true. Some people would never otherwise come to this church unless they were invited, right? You need to tell them how special this church is. You need to tell them how special your God is. You need to tell them how bad you've been. Maybe you don't need to go into details, okay? But if God can save you, he can save them. Pure and simple. God gives us many illustrations in creation that we can use to try to explain stuff. In Genesis, we learn that God created light, and then he gave us the ability to understand light by putting it in the sun in the day, right? And then at night, we get the moon and the stars, right? Simple, okay? Now, the sun shines in the daytime, and we get warmth and light, and then the moon shines at night, right? The moon shines at night, right? Amen. Some of the kids are going, Brother Dave, the moon doesn't shine, does it? What does it do? Reflects. You see, what is the moon? It's a lump of clay that's hardened, right? Rock. On its own, it's no good for anything, really. But when those that are in darkness, on the dark side of the earth, look up, the sun will reflect on that moon and provide light on the dark side. Those that are in dark, some of you already know where I'm going with this. You see, because we have a sun, S-O-N, that said that he was the light of the world. And how can the light reach the darkness? The sun's light does not wrap around and bounce back. It's direct, right? And so it can directly reflect, but it can't get to the darkness unless it's got a point of reflection. And dear friends, you and I on our own are worthless. We're a hunk of rock, old clay. Some of us older than others. Jesus wants to shine his light into the darkness, and he wants to use you. The moon is the perfect example. Why? Because once a month, we get the new moon. Does anybody know what the new moon gives us? Squat. Nothing. Why? Because the world, the earth, is 100% between Jesus and the moon. It is blocking the light. But every day it begins to come out from the shadow of the world and reflects more and more until we get the full moon. Which means the world is no longer impeding the light to the dark side. Don't you hate it when these illustrations hit home? I do. Because the more I allow the world to get in the way, the less light that I'm able to reflect into the darkness. The people that need it most. And I'm so concerned about stupid worldly things that I'm not even seeing those that are lost and dying and going to hell. And you're the exact same way. Why? Because I see myself in the mirror. And I hear stories. Yeah, Brother Dave, if I just would have left that thing alone, I would have shared the gospel before they passed. I don't want you or I to have any more regrets in life. Let the world just get out of the way. I want you to see Jesus for who he is and then tell them who he is and what he's done for you. You don't have to know the entire Bible. John 3:16 is a good start. That's all Mihai heard, and it changed his forever destiny. His entire eternity is safe and secure now. Why? Because he heard and saw the light. This church is amazing at reaching out in the community. Keep it up. Don't let up. But don't let the world get in the way. Don't let the discouragement, and the devil would love nothing more than you to concentrate on this problem and that problem, and keep it from allowing you to follow God's leading. Don't let it. Don't let the world get in the way. Let his love shine through you to those who need to see it. Brother Isaac.
Moses had an incredible relationship with God, unlike anybody else. And when we look at that example in Scripture, how he talked to God face to face like nobody else, understand that that's your future when your faith is in Christ. You're going to be able to see him face to face, and you can know him now. You can know him as your Savior if you'll repent and put your faith in him. And it's vital to understand how much God loves you in spite of our sin against him, how much he loves you. As he died for you, he suffered for you, took the punishment that you and I deserve on himself. It's important to understand that, because while friendship and closeness with God's available through faith in Jesus, God's wrath is already on you if you don't believe. We are already condemned in our sin and our unbelief. And if you're not 100% sure that heaven is your eternal home today, you can know that today, because God so loved the world. He so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you saved? If you're not, you can be today. You can trust in Christ your Savior. If you are saved, you need to take the first step of obedience. If you haven't yet, you need to follow Christ in baptism. Identify with him publicly to let the world know that Jesus died for you and rose again, and you're going to live in newness of life for him. If he's convicting your heart this morning, we want to invite you to respond in obedience and faith. If you need to be saved, you need to make a decision for Christ. You come right now while we sing.
Page 520.